week or two ago, we asked for suggestions of subjects and personalities which we might discuss on this show. One little girl wrote in from Akron, Ohio, and she said, "I don't care what you talk about as long as you keep on talking." And that can prove very dangerous, because some years ago, on the way back from Europe, a steward came out on the deck of the ship one night and he said, "Are you the one who preached sermon at St. Patrick's Cathedral such and such a time?" "Yes." He said, "Maya, that was a wonderful sermon. Wonderful. I enjoyed every minute of that hour and a half." I said, "My good man, I never talked an hour and a half in my life." "Well," he said, "it seemed that long to me." Well, tonight we're going to discuss a very remarkable man of literature. The man who forestalled communism and who understood it better than many who have lived through it. And his name, it has, we should mention, some alternate spellings. Fyodor Dostoevsky. Born in 1821 in Moscow. His father was a doctor in one of the poor hospitals of Moscow. Father was not very kind to the family, nor to the peasants when he bought a farm. The peasants later on killed him. But the son lived from 1821 to 1881. And in that relatively short span of life had three great creative moments. The first creative moment of Fyodor Dostoevsky was when he learned the meaning of freedom. Those were days when students were rather radical, and young Dostoevsky belonged to a radical group as he was studying engineering, though he always loved literature. And he was interested not in the German philosophers, as many were at the time, but in Rousseau, Saint-Simon, Fourier, and others. He wanted to establish some kind of a system where there would be no marriage, no private property, but some weird kind of socialism. And kings and czars were jittery in those days. In the year 1848, Louis Philippe was the last king of France. He lost his throne. Nicholas I was afraid of losing his. So when he heard of this young group of revolutionists in St. Petersburg, he arrested them. 20 of them were thrown into the prison. Peter and Paul. Queer name for a prison. So it was. And then after several months in jail, on the 22nd day of December, 1849, 20 youths were led up on a platform in Skomorsky Square of St. Petersburg. They were in lines of 10. Dostoevsky was sixth in the second line. A sheriff mounted the platform. He walked to each of them. He gave the sentence of the court. Condemned to death. Condemned to death. Condemned to death. 20 men, 20 minutes to wait for death. Dostoevsky nudged someone alongside of him. There was a cart down below. 20 coffins in it, black cloth over the coffin. The temperature, 20 degrees below zero. They were stripped of all their clothing except a shirt. It was 7 o'clock in the morning. Dostoevsky looked up and the sun was just coming through the clouds. It began reflecting itself against the dome of a church. And he said, "In 5 minutes, I will be this where the source of all that light is." And then 1 minute more, and he said, "Oh, if I could only live, what an eternity of days would be mine, and how I would treasure each moment." And at that moment, a soldier came across the yard waving a white flag and announced that through the mercy of the Tsar, they would not be shot. But Dostoevsky was to be sentenced to 4 years imprisonment in Siberia. He breathed the air of freedom. He began to be a kind of an embodied spirit. His soul had come back into his body. Dante, because he wrote Inferno, has been described as the man who has been to hell. Dostoevsky was the man who looked death in the face and got back that elemental freedom, the freedom to live and move and have your being. You would understand freedom as well as any man in the world. That was his first creative moment. The second was when he learned the implications of that freedom. Christmas Eve of that year, he was put into a sleigh, driven out of St. Petersburg on a 3 weeks' journey to Siberia. And as he left St. Petersburg, it was Christmas Eve. There was no room in the inn. He could see houses ablaze with lights, Christmas parties on the inside. So out to the stable of the world he goes, to Siberia. And what a place it was, as Dostoevsky describes it. He said, we were huddled in this barracks like herrings in a barrel. No room to turn around. Fleas and lice by the bushels. Temperature 30 and 40 degrees below zero. Ice 3 inches thick on the window pane. One stove in the center of a room never melted the ice in the room. A sheepskin to cover us, but it never covered our feet, and our feet froze. Filth on the floor, too cold to go outside to satisfy nature. Men would attempt to cross the floor, and their chains would get caught in the chains of others, and they would fall, crack their heads, and curse. It was a veritable inferno of imprecation and curses and lecherous laughter. And out of it, later on, came the books describing what he had been through. Letters from the Underworld and the House of the Dead. Some of the most terrible pages of all literature. And what did he learn? During this captivity in Siberia, he learned three lessons, and he puts them down in these books. And the first lesson that he learned was how evil men can be. He lived with characters, and he saw guards that could not be divided as novelists divide their characters into good and bad. He said there are some people who will abuse freedom to a point of wishing only evil. They lose the distinction, he said, of right and wrong. And they do not deny God merely, he says, they challenge God. They set themselves up as an absolute. He said, I found that while I was there, that man is open at two ends. First, he's open to the inspirations of grace. And then he said, he's open to the devil himself. And some of these men, he said, wanted to do evil just for the sake of evil, even to make good evil. And as a result, he said, they became cruel. And I learned, he said, that it is possible for a man to become more cruel and bloodthirsty than any beast. As one of the characters said, there are only two periods in history. One is our ascent from the gorilla to the death of God, and the other is from the death of God to the making of a new earth through communism. That was his first lesson, how evil men can be. And the second lesson that he learned was about a social system that evil men can create. That social system that exists in the land where he lived. Churchill describes that land as the dividing of it as the Iron Curtain. That description would never satisfy Dostoevsky. Why? Why, because the Iron Curtain is from our side, the comfortable side, the side of real freedom, looking up against something opaque. When you pass through Siberia and see evil such as Dostoevsky saw, that description would never fit it. And so in Letters from the Underworld, he describes the new race of men and what it means to live under this type of man. And he describes it as the mouse facing the wall. He said a mouse will ultimately come to the last wall, and he will gnaw, but he cannot get through. A bull in the face of a wall will respect it. He will not charge it. It's something sacred. But a mouse will gnaw and gnaw and gnaw and be frustrated because he cannot get through. What is the wall? The wall is the impossible. It is that social system under which men must live unto eternal frustration. And the third lesson that he learned, he described it in these two books that I mentioned, was that the only alternative to this social system is Christ, in whom, as he rightly said, is God in the image of man. He said, I thank the Almighty that I have passed through Siberia, because I've learned now the essence of man. And I have also learned, he said, that it is only in Christ that I must repose. And later on, when Belinsky, the atheist, would try to win him over to his atheism, Dostoevsky said in his own queer way, he said, Belinsky, he said, I would rather be wrong with Christ than right with you. Prison spoils some men, and spoiled Oscar Wilde. He lost all of his creativity in prison. And he came out of prison. He wandered the streets of London under a diabolical pseudonym. He lost his power of writing because he'd been in prison, but not so Dostoevsky. He learned these great lessons. And Dostoevsky came out in order to come to the third moment of his life, the truly creative literary moment, in which he wrote some of the great pages of literature. For example, this is the man. Dostoevsky wrote in, first of all, the one that we will discuss first, Crime and Punishment, in 1866. The Possessed, 1872. We will not have time to discuss Brothers Karamazov around 1879-80, before he died. In these works, he describes communism that is to come. And he describes it Well, first of all, in Crime and Punishment, where one of the characters is Raskolnikov, the individual communist. Raskolnikov does not believe in a distinction between right and wrong, good and bad. But he's interested in the masses. He's concerned about the poor. He wants to build up a social system. He's concerned with the proletariat. And this new social system that loves the masses must be built up. But in order to build it up, says Raskolnikov, you have to have money. So he kills a poor old woman pawnbroker to get money to establish his socialistic state. And he argues, she was vermin anyway. You see the system? You kill one, you aid 1,000 of the masses, that's simple arithmetic. That's communism. No concern whatever for the individual person. All that matters is the party state, the totalitarian structure. And hence let individuals, wherever they be, in Poland, Hungary, Albania, anywhere else, let them be wiped out. All that matters is the regime that professes to love the poor and tramples on them. Dostoevsky's, then in his work, The Possessed, describes the state that has been set up by this philosophy. It's no longer concerned now with the individual communist. And Verhovinsky says, the Russian Revolution will begin with an atheistic base. You see the characters of Dostoevsky, like Kirillov, Shigalov, Verhovinsky, father of brothers Karamazov and others. Oh yes, they're in pages. Here they are in The Possessed. But these men, you cut a page, blood comes out, and they walk across the streets of Russia. They're living characters, they just have other names. Stalin, Lenin, Bulganov, Bulganin, Khrushchev. He wrote about them, he knew them all. He lived through them, he saw it coming. And so Verhovinsky said the foundation will be atheism, and then he talks to Stavrogin, and he tells Stavrogin just how he must develop this system, and Stavrogin prepares for it. And so he violates a girl, and then after he's violated her, he locks her in a room, and there's a little opening in the door. As he sips tea, he can look at her until she goes mad. And he enjoys his tea, and finally she goes mad, and she hangs herself, and Stavrogin said, now, I no longer know the distinction between right and wrong. Now I am ready to establish the system. And so the characters walk out on the pages of The Possessed. And would you not think that some of these, I'm reading from The Possessed, some of these pages were written by someone who had passed through the experiences of communism today in Russia. He suggests a system of spying. Every member of society spies on the others. And it is his duty to inform against them. All are slaves and equal in their slavery. See, equality, all comrades. They will be banished and put to death. Cicero will have his tongue cut out. Copernicus will have his eyes put out. Shakespeare will be stoned. Slaves are bound to be equal. There never has been any freedom or equality without despotism. But in the herd, everyone will be equal. The moment you have family ties or love, you get the desire for property. We'll destroy that desire. We will make use of drunkenness, slander, spying. We'll make use of every incredible corruption. We'll stifle every genius in its infancy. We will reduce all to a common denominator, complete equality. Only the necessary is the necessary. That's the motto of the whole world from now on. The world needs a shock, and that's for us, the dictators, to look after. Absolute submission. Absolute loss of individuality. But once in 30 years, the dictator will let them have a shock, and they will suddenly begin eating one another up, just as a precaution against boredom. And then, Dostoevsky, knowing that this philosophy that has no respect for persons, that speaks of the love of the masses, will be a menace to the world, tells how it will win over. Does not mention America. But how true, he was writing too soon for us, perhaps. But he told how all the intelligentsia, the riffraff, the false liberals, all of the people, without a fine distinction of right and wrong, will follow after these individuals. And do you know, says the leader, that we are tremendously powerful already? Our party not only consists of those who commit murder and arson, fire off pistols in the traditional fashion, or bite colonels. They're only a hindrance. I reckon them all up. A teacher who laughs with children at their God is on our side. The lawyer who defends an educated murderer because he's more cultured than his victims and could not help murdering them to get money, he's one of us. The schoolboys who murder a peasant for the sake of sensation, they are ours. The juries who acquit every criminal, they are ours. The prosecutor who trembles at a trial for fear he should not seem advanced enough is ours. And among officials and intelligentsia and literary men, we have lots and lots of them, but they do not know it. And so we'll have a little fresh blood now and then, and we'll set legends going, and every scurvy group will be of use to us. I'll pick out some of you fellas that you'll be keen for shooting. Well, there's going to be an upheaval. There's going to be such an upset as the world has never seen before. Russia will be overwhelmed with darkness, and the whole earth will weep for its gods. In 1872, but did he despair? Though he knew the world would run after these Raskolnikovs and Shigalovs and Kirillovs. No, toward the end of his life, in the journal of an author, he wrote about soldier, socialist soldier, who said he would commit the worst crime that one could ever commit. He would steal a host. And he stole a host. Blessed Sacrament, and then said he would shoot it. He leveled his gun and he saw the image of Christ above him, and he knelt down in penance. And that, to Dostoevsky, is what Russia would do. It would one day recover its soul when it got rid of these individuals who had brought ruin upon it. And then on another occasion he said, remember the young man in the land of the Gerasenes who was possessed with devils, and the Lord drove the devils out of the young man into the swine, and the swine were driven into the sea? Dostoevsky said, that's my Russia, my beloved Russia, full of sores, putrefaction, foulness, corruption, full even of devils. But one day, these devils, the Shigalovs, the Kirillovs, the Raskolnikovs, one day these devils will be driven out of Russia. and they will be pushed back and back and back into the sea. And there they will be drowned, and it will be good enough for them. And Russia will sit at the feet of Christ and learn his gospel.